Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. All right, Jason, so how you doing today, guy?
Great, Martin. Thanks for calling.
All right. So to begin with, all of us here in the good old US of A have heard about Cincinnati, Ohio. Where is your bike shop in relation to Cincinnati?
Well, there's actually the Ohio River goes straight through the next to downtown Cincinnati. We're in Kentucky, which is right across the river, so we're the closest bike shop to downtown Cincinnati. It's actually in a whole other state. We're in Kentucky, Newport, Kentucky, and so there's all these bridges that connect Newport and downtown Cincinnati and some of the other cities here in Kentucky.
Great. Okay. And one of those bridges is the Purple People Bridge. I talk about it in my book, How America Can Bike and Go Rich, that it, at one time it was the longest human-powered bridge until the Bob Carey pedestrian bridge got built connecting Omaha to Council Bluffs. Is the bridge really purple?
The bridge is purple.
Wow.
The river's about half mile wide, so it's a and the bridge sits 80 feet off the water, so you got a pretty good view off of it. And there's some pretty wide spans on there. But the whole bridge, the steel structure on the top is painted like a bright purple.
Wow. Okay, now that was what, originally a railroad bridge that fell into disuse? Is that what happened there?
Well, it was a railroad bridge, a trolley bridge, and a car bridge. So right now it's just a sidewalk and a car bridge, and the car part is turned into a bicycle and pedestrian bridge as well. And then there's the tracks or the area now where maybe one day we'll have some light rail here in town.
So are cars allowed on it?
No, not at all.
No cars at all. Okay.
There's several bridges across the river where you can ride a bike. This is the only one that's just bike and pedestrian, and there's a couple bridges that are just highway only. So,
and you were saying that at any given time, there's usually a couple dozen, 20, 30, 40 different cyclists on it making their way between both cities. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
It's used
a lot for commuting. It's used a lot for recreation. It's just in the exact right spot.
So. Awesome. And how far are you from the from where it lets off in Newport?
We're just several blocks up the street.
Wow. Awesome.
So it's right nearby. We're kind of in Cincinnati's a hilly city, but we're in a flat basin area, and it's really nice for bike commuting.
Okay. So you've been in the bike business since you were, what, 13 or 14 or something like that?
That's right. I remember when I was in high school, I had to go down to the office and get a work permit. I think, 14 and a half or 15. So, yeah, I started early.
And you started early working for a legendary business. Can you tell us about Bishop Bike?
Yeah, I started working for Bruce Bishop at Bishop's Bicycles. It's a family business that it's actually one of the oldest bicycle shops or one of the continuous running bicycle shops in the world. He showed me books going back from the late 1880s, and before that, it was a gunsmith. He actually, when bikes came out, there weren't bicycle shops way back when, and if you needed something repaired, people would bring their bicycle into the local gunsmith and get their bicycles repaired, and so they'd be able to make the pieces or fix the pieces. So eventually, his family business switched over from gunsmiths into kind of the more lucrative bicycle industry. That's kind of cool.
So now, in your own business, what kinds of things did you learn from Bruce that have made your research bicycle affairs the success that it is?
Bruce Bishop was a really he's a nice guy. His FOC had he showed me a lot about respect. I was in high school, there was a lot of respect in school, kids always pick on each other and things like that. And Bruce was just respectful to everyone and just very nice and would help folks out. And, I learned a lot from that. People acknowledged it. People, could see it and could see the trueness of it. So,
So your whole business is based upon respect, respecting anybody who comes in.
That's right.
Whether
anyone
it's
that comes in the door will work on their bike or help them with whatever they need.
Awesome. Now, it's funny. I talk to bike shops all over the nation, and with you now as a sponsor for our upcoming ride from San Francisco, San Jose, to Washington, D.C., Boston, it seems like whenever I call, and over the years here now, I almost always seem to get you, answer the phone. What's your philosophy on that? Did you learn that from Mr. Bishop, too?
Well, he actually, I'm always working, and he was always working. He would do, he'd be working on repairs from, he basically worked on every repair in the shop, I believe. He'd wake up sometimes at 7 in the morning, come in early and start working on bikes and work till closing time, 6 o'clock at night. So he was always hands-on. I'm in the business now, and I'm always there, and a lot of times I'm doing things like bookkeeping or some of those tasks, and I don't get to do the mechanics as much. So I'll answer the phone because it's a little bit easier for me to answer the phone and get some face to the business than for someone to stop working on a bike that Zen-like state some of the mechanics can get into when they're really having a lot of fun working on bicycles all day.
And, you were saying that working on a bike is like a zen-like state. Did I catch that word? I know that that's something we've talked about
yeah,
before.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It definitely is.
And you honor that.
Definitely
right
do. Sometimes if you, break a technician's concentration for a minute, they'll have a hard time restarting and going back to that spot. So I respect that.
You were 20, as you said, when you opened Racer Bicycle. Now, you did that with your brother's help. What impact has Jeff, your brother, the guy who did our Mayor's Ride logo, what kind of impact has he had on your life, Jason?
Well, he's a graphic designer, and he's very perceptive. So, he brought a lot of that to his artwork, and he knows a lot about, how marketing works and how people think about things. So, he helped me out with my business plan. He helped me out with some of the, getting the logo together for the shop and just how to do things that you wouldn't necessarily think of, like position a business and things like that. So he knew a lot about that kind of stuff and really helped me out there.
Wow. Is he still active with you, or is he... Here, 10 years later, do you still consult with him?
He really helped me get going, and he's always coming to me with new ideas, I'll ask him about, how to make something work or how to make it, work in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Once I heard you tell me that getting a new person into cycling is a really big charge for you. How do you go about doing that with your shop?
Well, I really like to focus on people that, aren't biking yet and try to get them into cycling. We go to a lot of events like paddling events, Pedal Fest. We go to events at the local university and set up a table and talk about bicycling. A lot of other events too will show up and just promote the sport and just the idea of it and try to get people on bikes. And then the way that our services here at the shop, like when we sell a new bike, we do free lifetime tuning, so they have no excuse there's no excuse for not riding. You know, they can always have a bike that works. We do a free fitting where we actually go through and fit the bicycle to the rider using some of our Serrata Institute certified fitters. So we do a lot to make it so there's just no excuses. It's really easy. It's a lot of fun.
Was I hearing things, or did I hear? I gotta interrupt this. Did you say you give lifetime tune-ups?
That's right. Yeah, we
we
do a lot of tune-ups every year that we don't get paid for.
Uh-huh.
But it's great because you know people keep riding. They stay in the sport.
And, uh-huh.
It just makes it that much easier and that much more fun. So.
Wow. That's amazing. I've never heard of that before.
And we've seen a big growth in biking around here too. So I think it's working.
Uh-huh. I'm blown away by that, Jason. You know, as one of the most active owners, I think I know, and I literally and figuratively talk to bike shops all over the nation. How many different rides do you personally lead to during the year?
Probably over 100.
Oh,
we
wow.
do two rides every week, basically while during the daylight savings time from March to November. We have a Tuesday afternoon ride where we help people. You know, they start road biking. We have routes for them and a group, and then we have people that have been biking for a while, and then we have a faster group. But the neat thing is that we take people and show them routes on the road where they can ride and how to go places and how to stay safe on the pavement. And it's kind of opens doors for a lot of people. Then you see them, you know, during the day, they get time off work or whatever. They'll be out on their bike and they'll stop by the shop and say hi. But it's kind of neat that, you know, we show them all these routes, and they realize what they can do with their bike.
And you're showing them as well how to ride year round. There's no such thing as bad weather; there's just bad cycle wear.
Oh yeah, we do a full moon ride. Mm-hmm. We started that this year, where we kind of take this and do some encouragement, show riders how to come out. You know, it's an evening ride on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We go out, we ride around downtown Cincinnati. It's usually chilly, so it's dark, it's chilly, it's on the road. Three things that people are usually worried about with cycling, and we show them how to get through all that and how much fun it can be.
Wow. Talk to me about the event you have out there on the Purple Pupil Bridge.
Oh, we have what we call Breakfast on the Bridge. It's kind of the capstone for Bike to Work Week. We started with Queen City Bike in May, and we have commuter stations around town, actually, during Bike to Work Week, where people can ride by and pick up a cup of coffee. We have a lot of really nice local coffee shops that donate food and coffee for the event. But Breakfast on the Bridge is actually on the Purple People Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and it brings out news crews. It brings out a lot of bike riders. There's a lot of excitement, and we usually have a couple hundred people, you know, ride their bike to work that day and stop by the bridge, even if it's a little bit out of their way, just to say hi and have some camaraderie there.
Now, do you tie that in with Bike to Work Day?
Yeah, that's the
that's
usually on the Friday Bike to Work Day, so it's at the end of Bike to Work Week. It really, you know, sets the stage for the whole week.
I'm hoping that my listeners are feeling your passion. It's awesome. You know, and every time I've called your shop over the years, if you're, for example, busy with a customer, I always seem to be talking to someone who's articulate and caring. As the fired up owner that you are, do your employees tend to follow the lead you set? Do they reflect your passion, your work ethic? It seems like a family there of just really charged up employees. Is that in my imagination, or talk to me about that?
No, it's true. I mean, they really, you know, I think just like Bruce kind of set the example, Bruce Bishop set the example for me when I worked for him, just by setting a tone here at the shop, everyone really gets excited about it. They can You know, they understand that the real respect, you know, for all of our customers, and they can feel good about doing their job. They're doing something that's really great for the world. So everyone gets fired up.
All right. That's so exciting to hear. You know, and even beyond selling bikes, you also, you're looking to grow the passion locally for cycling. You do that through Queen City Bike. What can you tell us about Queen City Bike?
Queen City Bike started as an organization. We actually didn't have any big organizations here in the city for bicycle advocacy. We had the Cincinnati Cycle Club, which, you know, kind of did that as a side job. Their main job was, you know, just promoting rides and having bike rides and stuff. But Queen City Bike actually goes out and lobbies for, you know, bicycle lanes, bicycle paths, you know, gets neighborhoods together, gets, you know, residents and constituents, you know, and shows that people want cycling to the our city's leaders and all the cities that we have around here. So it's been really exciting, you know, the process of getting that going and how much has been done in the past couple of years.
Awesome. So, Jason, you do lots of bike events over and beyond the getting people into biking throughout your year with your weekly, bi-weekly, daily, whatever events that you do to get people on bikes, and the Purple People event. What other events do you do from your shop? That are there others?
Yeah, the League of American Bicyclists kind of has set up a 5 E's for creating a bicycle-friendly community. I think there's education and environment and encouragement.
Energy?
You know, engineering.
Uh-huh.
I think energy should be one of them. But,
okay.
can't think of all 5 E's right now. But, you know, we do a lot. You know, there's lobbying side that does the, you know, shows how to do the engineering to the, you know, highway departments and stuff like that. What we like to do is the things like the education and the encouragement, you know, to have bicycle parties and bicycle rides, to have, you know, chances. We have like a Saturday morning class on how to do basic roadside repairs and maintenance on a bicycle. So that education, it lets people know how to keep using their bike and how not to feel scared or intimidated by it in any way. So just doing all kinds of things like that to really build the enthusiasm for cycling.
So you're active with the league then, League of American Cyclists?
I'm not active with the league per se, but we do a lot. We've taken a lot of things from their books.
Awesome. Okay, you're a Category 2 mountain bike racer, and you also race the road. You sponsor a racing team. Tell us about those guys.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. We have, you know, that's another aspect of cycling, you know. We have mountain bike racing, road bike racing. It's a whole another direction from commuting, and there's a lot of people that cross over and get into it, kind of like runners will decide to run a marathon or a half marathon or even a 5K. So there's lots of local cycling events like that. And boy, they draw, you know, a lot of attention. When you put on a bike race in a neighborhood, people come out to watch it, and it gets them excited about cycling. They remember they might have a bike in the garage or something, and they get on that thing and start going again.
All right.
And sometimes they stick with it, they, you know. So it's cool.
So what's the name of your racing team that you sponsor?
Our racing team is the Cincinnati Newport Covington Cycling.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's, it kind of encompasses the three cities that we have right here. And we have a lot of people that have, you know, just started racing. And we have a lot of people that have been racing for a while, and they kind of share, you know, what they know, do a little bit of coaching, and help out the newbies in the bike racing, and it's really cool. It's it's nice to be able to show up at a bike race and have some camaraderie. There's always other people at the race, you know, that you learn to, there's a whole cycling community that kind of runs together. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, Jason, if anyone can do it, there's always like the different, even within any organization, there's going to be, or any activity, there's going to be different types of factions. You got the racers, you've got the mountain bikers, you got the transportation cyclists, the commuters, the recreational cyclists, things like that. Do you find that you're able to kind of, is there a lot of crossover with your racers? Until you were saying that earlier, but is it a kind of a real congenial, easy flow for everybody there? The racers don't come in, they're not like the big star guys that walk around and get the special treatment. It's like everyone's just a cyclist. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of crossover people, you know. Have fun with one aspect of cycling, and they decide, like, hey, you know, I've been riding for so long, I've ridden to work, my legs have got to be strong, I should give bike racing a try. So they'll try you know, checking their fitness that way and have some fun with that, and I think that's the most fun about, you know, a lot of cycling is the community that's there. You know, you're not stuck in a car in a glass bubble. You're out and about people, so you learn, you know, you get to talk to your neighbors. A lot of neighbors, you know, will stop me as I ride by, and just because it's different, you know, and you learn people's names and things like that you wouldn't if you drove by. So the same thing with, you know, bike racing. You have a bike event, you might get to talk to the person that you're trying to pass. And, maybe there's a...
What a concept.
So it's really neat. I love it.
So,
I've been doing bike racing for as long as I've been working in the bike industry.
Great. Now, Jason, for someone who's wanting to get into cycling that doesn't have a lot of money, can you work with them? Can you get them into a bike? Do you have used bikes?
You know, a lot of times we have some bikes starting at... under 500, and for some people that's not a lot at all, and for other people that's still a lot of money. We do repair some bikes that aren't even bought here, and what a lot of people do is they start with a, you know, an older bike that they find, you know, a garage sale or something, and we fix it up for them and offer some classes and try to get them into cycling a little more.
Can you help them in that way? Can you point them to, like, is there, like, a bulletin board or a resource that, like, an online classified or something like that you can get people into, like, because oftentimes what precludes a lot of people from getting into cycling is the cost. You know, $100 is a lot for some people, you know. And do you have a workaround for that at all?
Yeah, I mean, we can give them some tips and stuff about buying a used bike and then do a lot of the service. And that's one other thing, though, that we try to do with our new bikes. We include that free lifetime tuning.
Right on.
A complete fitting. So that stuff that's not a continuing expense. So
Great. It
makes it a lot cheaper in the long run.
Yes.
To get into cycling, having the bike fit so you don't have to, you know, change a piece down the road to be more comfortable on the bike, that makes a big difference. So we try to do a lot of things that make it, with the service that we do, that make it way more reasonable in the long run.
Awesome. Okay, well, tell us your website address.
Yeah, our website is reserbicycle.com, R-E-S-E-R, bicycle.com.
Excellent.
And
okay.
We have a lot of info on there. We have a calendar of bike events. We have, you know, information on our services and bikes and just a lot about what's going on. So
awesome.
Definitely check that out.
Well, Jason, we're just about out of time. Is there anything you'd like to add that we didn't cover?
You know, I've been, I think it's really exciting, all the enthusiasm that you bring nationwide to cycling and Martin, so keep it up.
Well, it's like ditto, guy. We're just mirrors for each other. That's all that's going on here, Jason. It really is. Wow. So, wow. Okay, well, it's been great talking to you. Really has. I feel honored to get the chance to talk to a someone who's really got a Cincinnati region on fire for its two wheels. And just thanks for you, Jason.
All right. Thank you, Martin.
All right. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.